Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Jurevicius in the Dog Bowl. And hey, Dog Pound, your team made 7 game-changing plays yesterday, which means your game-changer multiplier is 8 times today only at Horseshoe Casino Cleveland. Make sure you get to the Horseshoe today to redeem your game-changer multiplier. And that qualifies every time you get a rushing play of 10 or more yards, a pass play of 20 or more yards, or a turnover. That's what gets the multiplier again. It's 8 times today only at the Horseshoe Casino in Cleveland. So go in there. You get 8 times the credit on your player's card.
What?
It is genius. Go out there. Make some cash. Have a legendary night, as it were, or day at the Horseshoe Casino Cleveland with your 8 times game changer multiplier. All right, we wanted to talk to you. 216-578-0850. Lenny in Cleveland, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on this Victory Monday.
How you fellas doing today?
Good. How are you?
Hi, I want to speak to Joe Jurevicius because he can speak to the best. In the red zone, the Browns are having a problem because they have small, short receivers. So that cuts out the fade, that cuts out the jump ball because most of the defenders are either taller than our receivers or the same size. That's a problem if you can't run it in because it's only certain as you can throw in the red zone.
You're spot on. I mean, obviously losing size. Jordan's what hurt us right now. So I think when you lose somebody of Jordan's size and caliber and his athleticism, it obviously hurts you. But again, what we have to realize, you know, Miles Austin isn't exactly a small guy either.
No, Miles Austin's making tough catches all over the place.
Tough catches. You know, yesterday he had the one where he leaps over the defensive back and snatches it over him. I mean, a hell of a catch. But, you know, it's probably a better weapon when you have somebody who's tall to be able to throw and just give you that one extra play, the jump ball kind of deal. The thing that you find, you know, and Hawk is really good at this. He's good at those double moves. And he's also lost it. He's good at getting lost in the shuffle. So when defenses are kind of scrambling around inside the end zone, he can kind of get lost because he's hard to see. So it's kind of both ways, but you know, obviously we just don't have that tall receiver until Gordon gets back.
We don't have it, but I think at the same time, if you were to go back and watch the tape of the Jacksonville game, you had guys open in the end zone and the plays just weren't made. I think you can scheme guys open. You saw the sprint left option there to get the touchdown to Hawk from the 4-yard line. I understand it, and believe me, I like big receivers. I'd love to have one on the outside right now, but I think Miles Austin's played that role very effectively because there have been plenty of times where I would say it seems that Brian Hoyer just kind of threw it up in his direction, and Austin made a big catch.
You know who had big catches yesterday? You saw Gronkowski do it.
Oh,
the guy's a beast. So, yes, I understand. You're right. But we just don't have it, so I don't know if we can sit there and complain about it until we get Gordon back. And then that brings a whole different element. And if Cameron's all right, man, if George's all right, man, we're going to be okay.
And I also think, too, in the red zone, the field is compressed. It becomes more of a horizontal game than a vertical game. And it requires a level of precision that we have not shown on a consistent basis.
Sure, and you're right. And in the red zone, I've always played for defensive coordinators that like to get really aggressive and bring pressure to force your hand. I've also played for a defense that likes to drop 7. You know, and when you drop 7, there's small windows, and to the caller's point is small windows and small receivers. You know, so and to your point, Nathan, as well, you have to have an accurate throw to throw to a small receiver in a small window. You don't have that guy that Gronkowski, Vincent Jackson, Dez Bryant, who can you just throw it up to the goalpost and Jimmy Graham's going to go get it. We don't have that. You know, I don't even think Cameron's really that guy either. He's more of a pass catching, you know, maneuverable type of guy. He's not that basketball body, even though I know it's, you know, in his history. It just doesn't have it. But it's again, I really do think we do a good job and we'll continue to do but we're going to have to scheme our way into the end zone down there until we get our weapons back, and also to manufacture, you know, certain looks to kind of show their hand and win a one-on-one battle.
Matt, what you said there about scheming is actually the biggest thing. And I think Kyle's doing a good job because he knows what we have right now in the arsenal. So just a few weeks ago, you know, we ran the triple slant to one side inside the red zone. And we made on Hawkins' deal yesterday, it was the same type of deal where we showed 3 slants, but Hawkins, instead of slanting, this time goes to the flat, and everybody's thinking it's the triple slant. So the scheme is really big right now. And I think those are the important things. You have to use whatever we have. We might not have the height, so you've got to be creative in other ways. Miles Austin, to me, has really good hands. He's strong. So if you do get in those jump ball situations, you know, when you I don't know, man. We just need another big receiver to come on here, and he's here in a few more weeks.
He's got a few more weeks. That's right.
And we could change the entire outcome.
Only 4 more games until Josh Gordon returns for the Cleveland Browns. We'll certainly look forward to that. Let's go to Chevy in New Jersey now. Chevy, welcome to CBD.
Hey, guys. I was just biting at the bit to get on the show. My word for the day, if not the rest of the year, sacrifice. Dante Whitner showed me that he was willing to sacrifice his body for the team. Now, there's another player on defense that I want to see get his nose in there, number 51. Get in there and hit somebody. I want to see it. But that's not the only point I want to make. Brian Hoyer also needs a sacrifice. He has shown us he's got enough talent to play with any quarterback in the NFL. What has he got to sacrifice? His time after practice. Get out there with the three amigos and practice. Hone your skill every night after practice until the Bengals game. Thanks, guys.
I don't think it's a matter of him putting in the work. I think I know he is a very hard worker, so I don't think Brian Hoyer is in any way slacking. I think that Brian Hoyer is a quarterback who is not going to just carry your offense. This isn't Drew Brees. This isn't a Tom Brady. This isn't Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck. He's a quarterback who can be very good when you've got that strong running game against him. He, as we point out, he doesn't have the receivers that are necessarily going to win one-on-one on the outside and be open when they're covered. So this isn't just a straight drop-back passing attack. And when teams are forcing the Browns to be that way, you're going to see some inconsistency. You're going to see some ugliness. And we saw some passes yesterday that could have easily been interceptions and changed the nature of that game. And fortunately for the Browns, they kind of had some good living and got away with it.
We don't have a game changer right now. That's what we're missing on offense, at least in the receiving position.
Correct.
I'm talking about a flat-out game changer. Somebody like, listen, one-on-one, we're going to you every single time, and 9 out of 10 times he's going to make the play. So we've got to find the other things to do. But if you look at what Brian was doing last year, he had that game changer. So
that's
it
right.
Enabled him to do a few other things. So we've got to get through a few more weeks here and schematically do the little things to get these guys open, regardless of their size, hope that we can get Jordan back. And I see things changing. But you've got to have that one element. You've got to have that weapon in your arsenal that you can go to and know that he's going to take the top off of a defense. And when he does that, he's going to create everything underneath and make it look that much easier.
And that's why a guy like Josh Gordon is so rare. But you got to give a tip of the cap to Andrew Hawkins. 7 for 88 and a touchdown yesterday. He's on pace for 1,072 yards this season.
That's impressive.
And that's impressive for a guy at his size who is taking advantage of a scheme and really being kind of a number one receiver when that's not the role he was expected to play. We got to address this because this is basically the only thing that's on my Twitter right now, and that's Isaiah Crowell, because I think we do have a game changer on offense, and it is, to me, Crow at the running back position. Only 3 snaps in this game. It was pretty much Ben Tate, a lot of Terrence West. Interesting decision, I guess, there. Are you guys surprised by it, and what do you see happening going forward?
My best guess on the reason why I don't know why we didn't see Isaiah Crowell, but I'm gonna go into a point about why we saw Terrence West. I think Terrence West, we've used a second day draft pick on Terrence West, and I think that the coaches like what they're getting, and I think at this point against the Oakland Raiders, a team that we should have had success running the ball against, they thought, let's get our draft pick some confidence. Let's keep his head in the game. Because I think from what I've heard from Terrence West and from what we know of him thus far, another game with limited reps and Crowell essentially trumping him on the depth chart to be the number two running back behind Ben Tate, you might have lost him, it seems. And I don't know if this was like a last-ditch effort to keep his head in the game, but I don't know if I'm on board with keeping everyone happy. Your goal is not to keep everyone happy. You could be the most disgruntled locker room in the league, which is what we're seeing in Seattle, but as long as we're winning football games. Winning football games is what takes precedence in everyone's eyes, not keeping everybody happy.
Oh, yes.
I think all of us, as soon as we walked in the studio today, we were kind of wondering, did he miss a meeting? Was he late for practice? And the answer is no, none of that happened. So obviously it was a coaching decision. Maybe they were thinking that Oakland was listening to our radio show.
they were just prepping for him. That's right.
Crow should be the two backs, and West wasn't going to play, and they wanted to change it up on him, so they put West in and sat Crow. So I don't know. It's an interesting thing, but it goes down to coach's decision. Obviously, they're going to have to maybe change it up again because the last couple of weeks it really hasn't looked very good.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you look at the two games in which the Crow has featured the least in the ground game, and they are by far, statistically speaking, our two worst running games of the year. So is that a correlation? Am I searching for things given the fact that I'm a big Crow supporter? I don't know, but it seems to me that there's something there. All right, before we get this break in, because you guys are blowing up the phone lines, 216-578-0850, let's go to our buddy Reg in Youngstown. Reg, welcome to CBD on a Victory Monday.
Hey, fellas, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you, Reg?
Fantastic. Hey, listen, I was listening to what you guys were saying about the wide receivers in general. Hey, guys, you know, I get off here after I say this, and one more thing. I think that our wide receivers are really, really good because Miles Austin, you guys remember when he played with Dallas, man, that guy was fantastic.
He was. He's making big catches right now.
I think that we need to really, use him more, and Hawkins without a doubt, man. Hawkins, I tell you, boy, we got a receiver. He's small, but that guy is really something else, man. I just about was ready to say, hey, just throw him the ball all the time because that guy, he really can do the job. Last thing I want to say, and I get off that you guys maybe comment on it for me, is the fact, guys, I don't want to sound like an old broken record. I'm not still satisfied with our offensive line. I am not. They ain't getting it done. I don't know what happened that we had our center, you know, when he got hurt, Matt got hurt. It just seemed like they're just not getting it done. They're not getting it done. That's my opinion. You guys, you know, I'll let you guys, you know, speak on it, and I'll talk to y'all, you know, probably tomorrow then. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
I think the offensive line is kind of going through a state of flux, and I called this game in many ways a referendum on the offensive line because Jacksonville was so good up front, and coming into this game, the Raiders had not been so good. And I definitely think that the offensive line and the offense in general that we enjoyed and saw over the first five games of the season, probably not the offense and the offensive line we're just going to see all season long. I think we came up, we had a great plan. Kyle Shanahan really was drawing things up in a phenomenal way. And now teams are adjusting to it, and the Browns are going to adjust. And they did enough to win here. But I think it's tough, you know, week in and week out to just kind of hang your hat on that and that alone. And I think we're seeing that over the last 2 weeks.
You're right. And I what I loved at towards the end of the game, too, when it seemed like there were some points in the game where we could close out the game, is I even saw you saw Kyle Shanahan drop a nice power, you know, with the fullback in the game and a pulling guard, and it got us 3, 4, 5 yards. I think a time or two, which was nice to see, and maybe that's something that we add as a wrinkle to our offense, is that ability, even though the zone scheme and the play action off of it is going to be what we hang our hat on. It's, you know, being able to come with those runs that you see other power football teams, the powers, the counters, things of that sort, which, you know, some other teams that do carry a fullback, which we love small. He was in the game an awful lot yesterday as well. And just to talk about his other point, though, I truly feel that these wide receivers are exceeding everybody's expectations.
You're right.
And you've got to love Hawkins, as you said, on pace for over 1,000 yards, and we're getting him at a discount, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And listen, that's why they were so aggressive after him with that tender on as a restricted free agent from the Bengals. And how about this? Miles Austin, I just looked this up real quickly. Every single one of his last 9 catches have been for first downs, and 10 of the last 11 have been a first down or a touchdown. So he has been, when he has made a play, it has been a very meaningful play.
I think Miles, in my opinion, is probably the find. He's been a very good find for the Cleveland Browns organization, a guy that brought veteran savvy. He's been in a winning program for a long time. He knows what it takes to win, and he's showing it. And I think that stuff rubs off. Hawkins, Austin, all the way down, you know, Travis Benjamin almost had a deep one yesterday. Ball was underthrown a little bit. But if you're looking at what these guys are doing, Gabriel had the screen.
The big bubble screen
that he took. You know, so I think our receivers on offense are really becoming the focal point of our offense. I think they're doing a good job when they can get the ball. I'll go back to my Tampa days. You know, we didn't really have a game changer. We had Keyshawn Johnson, Keenan McCardle.
Kind of a possession receiver.
The three of us, you could say that about us. But we made plays when we had to, and we won a Super Bowl. So I don't necessarily think that having the game changer is the end-all, be-all. But I do think if you do your job consistently, that you can make a good football team. And that's what these guys are doing for a Cleveland Browns offense.
No question about it. I mean,
plays when they count.
You look at Calvin Johnson, he's lost two games for every game he's won in the NFL, and he's, you know, right up there in the top five of wide receivers to ever play this game. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue you with your reactions here on a Victory Monday. 216-578-0850. The Browns don't win pretty, but the Browns win. That is, of course, the message. Also, happy birthday to Matt's favorite punt returner in the NFL, Jim Leonard. It's his birthday today, so happy birthday. Shout out to Mr. Leonard. By the way, tough guy. Tough guy. He was not feeling 100% and went out there because he's paid to be a football player, not to be a football watcher, and I respect that about Jim Leonard. Solid performance again yesterday. All right, we'll be back with more CBD right after this. Couldn't sing a song without you in.